Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The march to the draft goes on, and boy, oh boy, strap in your seatbelts, everyone, because we're about to hit turbulence. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Excited to talk to one of our great draft analysts, Matt Miller, coming up in about 10 minutes as we look forward, or react to, I should say, Justin Fields' second pro day. That's a thing this year. Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, going to join us later on in the show, get some reaction to the NFL player that none of us should ever want to fight. And PJ Carlissimo going to join us at 6 o'clock Eastern, help get us ready for the coverage of Nets and Sixers on ESPN Radio. That game is going to start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, the coverage on ESPN Radio. So we'll take you up until that point. And we know that game is going to end up being more, at this point, maybe about who's not playing. No Harden, Aldridge, Durant, or Blake Griffin for the Nets at this point. Remember, that one became a surprise back-to-back because of the unfortunate and tragic events in Minnesota. And so now we're seeing those results accordingly. We will also be joined by Chinne Agumake starting at 4:30 in about a half hour here. She is off fulfilling obligations for the Jump, taking over the world like we always say. And that's good, because I feel like we got to clear out the furniture a little bit on this. When I was a kid, my dad, who was a professional football player for 9 years, who worked here at ESPN for a very long time, was also a big, strong former defensive lineman. And he always said, listen, if you ever feel like you're getting to a point where you feel like you can take down your old man, where you feel like you can take me, the old stock line was, we can go, we can rent a hotel room somewhere and clear out all the furniture, and we can do this and see who walks out on the other side. And spoiler alert, we never did that. We did wrestle on my grandmother's lawn in Willowick, Ohio, and embarrass the family in front of the entire neighborhood. But the point is, every once in a while, you need a little space to sort things out. And that's what I feel like we've got to do with this quarterback situation around the upcoming NFL draft right now, because it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We understand what draft season is around here. It's called silly season, lying season, the smoke screens, whatever you want to call it. But that doesn't take away from the frustration in real time when we see things like what's happened with Justin Fields, because this interesting phenomenon where we're searching for anything, those of us that have watched Justin Fields, that have seen the unbelievable talent he brings to the table as a part of Ohio State's football team, the dominant year he had in 2019, all the above. And yet we get to the draft and we see this fall and we have to ask these strange questions, like how we think his second pro day might affect the way that we perceive him. We're looking for anything. We're grasping for straws right now, because so many of us that believe, all right, we're not idiots, we see a very good football player here that's all of a sudden not being treated like it. We see players like Zach Wilson, for some people, seemingly come out of nowhere. Those of us that watched a lot of college football appreciated what BYU did, appreciated what Zach Wilson did. I was openly recruiting people during football season. Check out this BYU team. You're going to want to see this kid. He's going to be a nice NFL quarterback for somebody this upcoming year. But I didn't think he'd be so nice. I didn't think the Mac Jones I saw at the helm of the offensive juggernaut that is Alabama was all of a sudden going to vault himself into the conversation for the third overall pick after a team traded a boatload to get there. But we're getting into situations now where I'm hearing more and more people that we really respect around these parts. We talked about Chris Sims and what he brought up the other day, saying he believes Zach Wilson's a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence in this upcoming draft. We're hearing these kind of things from Lewis Riddick about Mac Jones in this spot. Mac Jones, who we've often looked at and said, yeah, I don't think he's worth the resources you're giving up at the third overall pick, is now garnering this kind of conversation from our ESPN NFL front office insider this morning on Get Up.
Some very, very, very smart quarterback tutors and former offensive coordinators who coached at a very high level in the NFL have told me they believe Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. Not just one that needs to be in the mix or that deserves to be in the mix outside of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, but they believe as though ultimately he's the best quarterback.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That is Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I want to make it abundantly clear, I respect the hell out of Lewis Riddick, and I believe he's talking to people that have done a great job and done far more in the NFL than I ever will. But we also know how different the game is right now. I can say definitively, I do not think Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. I think Mac Jones is really good. Like, this argument also doesn't need to become Mac Jones is a bum, because Mac Jones isn't a bum. what we've seen from this Alabama offense, what we've seen it evolve into, shows you, yes, they've been able to finally recruit talent in this spot. Mac Jones, even though people treat him like this, is not a former walk-on. This guy was a highly touted recruit. Just happened to be following in the footsteps of another high-quality quarterback there in Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts. We go down the list. I think ultimately as we get closer to the draft, I'm hoping water finds its level because I still think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the draft. I think he's got the most upside and the best physical skill set. I think Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft. I would go after him. I would go Zach Wilson, then Trey Lance, and then Mac Jones. For all the reasons we've talked about since football season ended, like this is what we didn't even have the combine to necessarily get into all of these weird ricochets off takes in these spots. And yet now we're treating these like absolutes. We're treating ourselves like we're locked into these certain places here. So much so that, again, Mike Tannenbaum, another guy who I respect a ton around here, our ESPN NFL front office insider, a guy who did this for a living at a high level, was on ESPN Radio earlier today and was asked this question. And this question is everyone trying to do their best to maintain decorum, because when he's asked, is Justin Fields' second pro day going to do anything to change his draft stock? The answer is automatically no. There's nothing about these pro days that's going to move or shake anything. This is Mike Tannenbaum's answer, and then we'll give you the one thing that we're really missing, the one thing we've really got to focus on in this situation that I feel like in our hunt to find and latch on to anything to overreact to in this season, because it's our favorite thing to do in draft season. We have missed one glaring thing, but here was Mike Tannenbaum earlier today talking about Justin Fields' second pro day and can it actually change anything.
You don't give up two first-round picks and a third not to know what you're doing, so I think it's smart that they're going. They're just being thorough and thoughtful. You never know in our business, Bob, but it could influence someone like Carolina, but I just don't see it impacting ultimately what San Francisco does at three.
Hearing him say that, and that was Bob Wischusen talking to Mike Tannenbaum earlier today on Greeny, hearing Mike say that, all I can assume is that he means, yeah, they're just doing their due diligence and they're already locked in on Mac Jones, because remember what happened. The reason Justin Fields is having a second pro day is because you can't do private workouts with teams this year. That's not on the table, and so you've got to set it up like a pro day so technically everyone can be there, so it's not a private workout. And this one was because Kyle Shanahan was at Mac Jones' pro day the first time around when both of these were on the same day. And now he's come in. There's even specific throws that he wanted to see Justin Fields make in this setting. And he has the ability to help influence that because of the thing that I feel like we've all missed in all of this. Like, everyone latched on to, well, Kyle Shanahan going to Mac Jones' pro day. We're hearing all this stuff about how he liked Mac Jones. This is a guy who was infatuated with Kirk Cousins. All these different things. Kyle Shanahan's had a direct line to Justin Fields and Trey Lance for a while now. Kyle Shanahan has a really good relationship with John Beck, who's the private quarterback coach for both Justin Fields and Trey Lance. He's a guy he can pick up the phone and ask, hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on with these guys? What are you working on here? He's had an inside track to these guys for a while, and I feel like, again, it's not to say we need to overreact super strong to that either. I'm sure he's not the only quarterback coach that this guy has a relationship with. Kyle Shanahan's one of the best coaches in the NFL. I'm sure there's a lot of people that he's crossed paths with and wants to know him. But if we're going to latch on to which pro day Kyle Shanahan went to first and act like that's a predictor of what's going to happen here, I feel like at the very least, we need to give this some time and realize, yeah, this was some wonky scheduling stuff that had to happen. If we're going to put stock in something, it's that Kyle Shanahan has been able to, through someone he trusts, assess this quarterback all along the way. A quarterback that when we pump the brakes, get back to where we started in all of this, going back to leaving football season, which is especially relevant this year because scouting the season, scouting the tape has never been more important than it is right now for NFL teams, and the good ones are finding a way to do that better. No one left the season and thought Mac Jones was better than Justin Fields. No one had questions about really anything surrounding Justin Fields, especially not after some of the gritty performances we saw down the stretch. Yeah, the Big Ten championship was rough. Yeah, this year was rocky. They started the season midway through. All of this stuff was insane. And so as we come to closer and closer, the NFL draft weekend here, I'm hoping for my mental health, and I'm willing to buy into this idea that it was all a smokescreen, that there was all this elaborate hoax, and that as we go through this, Justin Fields is no way, no how going to find his way out of the top five. That there is no Justin-loving God that is going to let the rest of the NFL botch this so badly that the Patriots can trade up like they did in Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft, and snatch Justin Fields, snatch victory from the jaws of the rest of the NFL, and get him at 10 of all places in here. So it's just a reminder, we're going to hear all of this stuff, and we're going to continue. And I believe what a lot of these people are saying, but in the modern NFL, the way we've seen the game change, when you've got quarterbacks that are incredible passers, and by all accounts, Justin Fields unbelievably accurate from the pocket in ways that people have gone out here and quantified, do you really want to go and pick the quarterback that has a lot of that same accuracy and none of the ability to buy himself time, none of the ability to get himself out of that same trouble? I don't really know how you'd go about justifying that. By the way, the NFL draft, all 3 days of it, going to be right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next, as we talk so much about Justin Fields' pro day, his status in mock drafts, let's get to one of our best and brightest experts, Matt Miller, going to stop by and figure out how we slot these quarterbacks, what we've learned in the last few weeks, and what's still to come before we ultimately get to draft night. Next here, Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Ngumake. And we like to raise our hands and admit sometimes when mistakes get made, because things happen, it is busy around here at the Worldwide Leader. So busy that Chinay Ngumake, the co-host of the show, is going to join us in about 10 minutes because she's had stuff going on with the jump today. The WNBA draft is coming up tomorrow. These are exciting times around here. These are exciting times, so much so we were looking forward to talking to Matt Miller, our ESPN NFL draft analyst, and then we looked up and realized, oh my God, he's on NFL Live right now. That is what it's like to be around here, a draft person in demand at this point of the year. So we get it. We understand it. And listen, talking about Justin Fields' second pro day would have been very exciting for a lot of reasons because, man, we can't seem to quit quarterbacks at the top of these drafts. And for some reason, we are treating Justin Fields like yesterday's news before this guy's even thrown an NFL pass. And I'm already getting the thing because we talked about this last segment with Justin Fields. And you can talk to us, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, about if we're doing wrong by Justin Fields in this process. And I say we because I believe in my heart of hearts that NFL teams see the things that we've all seen. Greatness from Justin Fields, regardless of who else has come from that quarterback room. And so I choose to believe when we get to draft weekend, and I heard this from former Ohio State linebacker and former Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk, who was on ESPN Radio earlier today, when he said, I don't believe any of what's being said about this particular player.
You have so much time to evaluate him. It's like people come up with things to try to make a knock on the guy. I don't believe any of the nonsense and the noise going on saying how he's not a hard worker, he can't pick up offenses. Like there's been a lot of documented stuff to show how intelligent this guy is, and we all know how athletic he is and how he can throw the ball and run and do it, everything. But I definitely think Justin Fields goes high, and I think especially in the right system, he can be an absolute superstar.
In the right system, any of these quarterbacks can be good. Like, we devalue how huge that is for any of these guys, as ridiculously talented as they are. And this group is special. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, texted me the other day and said, this group and the poise across the board they display is special. And she's right. But I agree with AJ. I think the way we talk about this on the outside, the things that people choose to get enamored with, and we've talked about it, some of it is certainly old racially coded, racially motivated assessments of black quarterbacks and the way we latch onto and are looking for those certain things. But it's just the things that we choose to get stuck on in the discourse heading to the NFL draft. I got a tweet from NV Steelers that said, hey, Mike, Justin Fields can thank Dwayne Haskins, JT Barrett, and Cardale Jones if he drops in the draft. As if those quarterbacks are predictive of what this one is going to do. Yes, I understand the common denominator. They all went to Ohio State, and I understand why people are even more critical, because those are all black quarterbacks that we're talking about in this spot. But when you look, I read you the stats the other day on here, looking at the offense that Dwayne Haskins ran versus the one that Justin Fields just ran. And it was completely different. Justin Fields pushing the ball downfield way more, using so many of those deep, longer developing routes on play action, all those things that we love to see from NFL teams. And that's why I have a hard time buying that. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down with you guys here. Let's go to Tom in Reno. Tom, you're on Chinay Ngola Jr. What the hell is going on with these quarterbacks at the top of the draft?
That was my tweet. I was just stating that some of these Ohio State quarterbacks haven't turned out to be so good.
You know what, Tom, and I understand and appreciate that, but at the same time, again, looking at what those quarterbacks have done, just because it's the same school, we know in some of those instances we're talking about different coaches around there, different coordinators around there, and just in general a different offensive philosophy in those spots. And we can go back and pull those numbers. But again, just using the past performance of quarterbacks that look like a particular quarterback or share their alma mater isn't necessarily the thing that we can continue to point to and say is going to be predictive of what Justin Fields does in this particular spot. That's the thing that gets frustrating in all this. And so when I hear people say, what can he do at his second pro day to change this? The answer is nothing. The answer is absolutely nothing, because I choose to believe from my own sanity that the people looking at it, evaluating this, are saying, all right, college football is now consistently handing us not only incredibly polished decision makers, because again, all of the guys in this class are poised. All of the guys in this class at one point or another have stepped up under big competition, under bright lights, maybe with the exception of Zach Wilson because of the schedule they played at BYU, and delivered in big ways. You look at some metrics, S&P Plus, which is a strength of schedule metric that Bill Conley uses around here at ESPN. No one played against a harder schedule in their collegiate career than Justin Fields. And so you look and say, all right, take all these people as equal as passers. Let's even do that. Let's say they're all so close, so high as passers, we can have that as a baseline for this spot. They're all blue chip stocks as quarterbacks. We look at Trevor Lawrence, we look at Justin Fields, we look at Zach Wilson, we look at Trey Lance, and we say, these other guys also have the athletic gifts that are going to get you out of a bind. I always think about it selfishly as an O-lineman. I'm going to get beat eventually because I knew I wasn't one of the premier guys on the team. And a lot of the teams, the bad teams that are going to draft these quarterbacks, are going to have players up front that are a little closer to that are a little closer to me than some of the all-pros you're going to see around these places, which means your quarterback's going to have to bail you out. And if all other things are even close to equal, and I'm not even sure they are necessarily in those spots, are you really going to draft the quarterback? Are you really going to use resources on the quarterback that just doesn't have all of those said same gifts? Again, I think Mac Jones can be really good in the spots we talked about him originally as a middle of the first round quarterback, as the fifth quarterback taken in this class. Because again, if all other things are even close to equal, why would you not take the one that is going to help bail you out? Reminder, draft night coverage starting Thursday night, April 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern. All 3 days going to be here on ESPN Radio. You can also check out myself, Jason Fitz, and plenty of others on ESPN Digital. But coming up next, we're going to get Chiney to join us, and we've got big news as we take you up to coverage at 6:30 p.m. Eastern of Net Sixers here on ESPN Radio. Big news about who's going to be in the lineup for this game, who's not going to be in the lineup for this game, and how it really starts to affect the pressure that's on the most star-studded team in the NBA. We'll get to that after this word from 303 Products. Now, are you looking for professional level of protection for your car's paint, but without the cost that you would pay a professional detailer? Lord knows, we're trying to save money wherever we can. And the new revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is going to provide just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself in no time. It leaves your car's finish with insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beating is crazy. I did it in my driveway the other morning. It took me 20 minutes. And now I've got a hood that I can not only eat off of, but see my face in, which, depending on the day, is good or bad for me. But you're going to get a car with insane levels of finish, shine, and depth. Your car's never going to look better. It also helps keep your car looking that way longer, too. The layer of protection is going to repel dust and fight off water spotting. It does this by making water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature. It's going to lower the surface temperature of your hood so that the water doesn't end up drying on the paint. All this, it's also great. You can use it on your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, all the above. It's now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pet Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Who's in? Who's out for Brooklyn in the house tonight? Next, here on Chiney and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Reunited, and it feels so good. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And now it is actually Chiney and Golic Jr. Chiney Agwumike rejoining the show after going and dominating life. Of course.
You miss me?
That's why I keep the TV on ESPN in the studio here, so when you're over on the jump, I can look up and still see you and wave and say hi, even though I can't exactly talk to you.
Good, but I know you held it down. Very proud of you.
Exactly. We do our thing, but we are happy to have you back here now because, Janae, we're taking everyone up to the coverage of the Nets Sixers on ESPN Radio starting at 6:30. And now it gets a little interesting because looking at who's going to be on the court for this game, we know for Brooklyn it is now not going to include James Harden, who we knew is still out with that hamstring, but also Kevin Durant, who's going to be sitting this one out because it's now become a back-to-back, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin all now out as they face the 76ers. Identical records, a battle for the one seed, Chiney. But I think the bigger question looking at this now is, after another night without all of its key pieces together, knowing they've only played seven games so far, how close do we get to the end of the season before this actually takes pressure off of the Nets? Because if we keep this song and dance going all the way up to the playoffs, I think it becomes less and less realistic to just expect them to put it all together in the postseason and win a championship.
Yeah, it just makes their job even harder. Even though it's a smart move, back-to-backs, you don't want to play Kevin Durant in that. And it's ironic because they're playing the Philadelphia 76ers, when Joel Embiid finally came back, they removed him from a back-to-back just to, you know, absorb some of that shock value of that first high-intensity game. And so it's sort of the pattern of take extra care with these stars in returning. When they come back, don't put them on back-to-backs. And now we've got a matchup of like, oh my gosh, this really is great. And then it's like, oh snap, it's just Kyrie Irving and a couple of other pieces. But I will tell you this, Junior, this is the significance. No matter what, and I was on SportsCenter earlier saying this today, this is a, get your hands ready, must-win game for the Philadelphia 76ers. Haven't you missed that? That
I
sounder?
Have. It's been a while since we've had a must-win, but you're right, Janae. We're getting to the point now in the NBA season where we're down the stretch. Like, we are not that far away from postseason, so why is this a must-win then?
This is a must-win because finally the Philadelphia 76ers, I believe, are a half game up on Brooklyn in the standings. Half game is not enough cushion. And they want the tiebreak. They've split it so far, so they want to have the tiebreak. So say they have the same record, they're able to make sure they have the highest seed and get the home court advantage and just solidify number one overall. So this is a must-win game. And the way I sliced it is obviously, you know, we think that without Kevin Durant, without James Harden and the number of players unavailable, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, and all of those, I think we tend to maybe even say like, oh, like Brooklyn can still mess around and find a way to win. Kyrie Irving still has that magic. But the reality here is when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers, I really love this squad. And I know you've heard, and I'm sure we probably have the sound of what Ben Simmons said, right?
Oh, do we ever?
Ben Simmons on the jump with Rachel Nichols. This is what he said.
There's one ball. There's one ball, and you have to play defense still. So, you know, I take pride in playing defense. I know, you know, if I'm able to get stops and you know, give guys a hard time doing their job, then, you know, we're going to be able to go further. They have a lot of talent, but at the same time, you got to play together. It's a team game.
Ben Simmons has officially become there's only one ball guy, Chiney. And Ben
Listen,
Ben Simmons been out here feeling himself anyway. He was coming for
yes, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert's head defensively, Chiney. Like, he's feeling every bit of this number one seed right now.
I am loving this because a lot of people are very critical of Ben Simmons' game. I would say if the ranks of criticism for people's individual games in the NBA are ranked, one, James Harden for a long time. Two, probably Ben Simmons, so much so that Philly looked like they were doing backflips the day he hit a three, you know, early in the preseason. And so I love the spiciness from Ben Simmons acknowledging, hey, this team, like, they think that they've got it made because they've got so many all-stars. Well, guess what? There's only one ball, and we know that we have to see that coexist, and they're going up against a team without them, you know, this Brooklyn Nets team tonight. And so this is a must-win game because, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, they want to maintain their spot in the standing. They want to keep the tiebreak. But man, Junior, what I love about this squad, and I know Cliff is probably super excited. Ben Simmons has realized that Joel Embiid, and I think everyone in Philly or anyone that supports the 76ers, Joel Embiid is their unequivocal leader, period, point blank. He had 36 points in 26 minutes. He is literally scorching earth of anyone that sort of comes in his vicinity in the paint. This guy is having an elite year. He has walked himself, ran himself, jumped himself, dunked himself all the way back into the MVP conversation, which we got to get to at some point. And now that you have that hierarchy, if you're Philly Jr., Then Ben Simmons out here coming with the I'm the defensive player of the year energy. This is my side of the court. No one else can do it better than me. I want to be the clear-cut favorite. You're seeing the balance, the harmony, the synergy, which is why this team is number one in the standings and why this has to be a must-win game if they're trying to build up the moxie for them to do things that they haven't done so far in the postseason.
Janae, I think you as a post player have to appreciate what Ben Simmons is doing, because this is big little guy writing a check that his big mate is going to have to cash. He can sit up here and talk about all this stuff about Rudy Gobert. I laughed my you-know-what off when Ben Simmons is like, Rudy Gobert guarded me when we played the Jazz. And guess what happened? I had 42. You also lost, and he's also a post player.
No. And you know what he said? I had 42, and I'm not even a good shooter, and I had 42 on you. I was like,
But I'm not a scorer. But I'm not a rapper. Like, but today, that is that energy, because he's right. He knows he's got the ultimate fail-safe, which is Rudy Gobert is not guarding him. He's guarding Joel Embiid. And, man, you can walk around with a much bigger chest when you've got a guy playing like Joel Embiid on there. And, you know, like you said, Ben Simmons has figured out that's the all-around guy. Ben Simmons doesn't want to shoot threes. Ben Simmons doesn't want to do much outside of 10 feet. And so what's he going to do? All right, I'm going to do the things I do really well. And as much grief as I give Ben Simmons, and I think understandably so, for a level that he maybe wants to aspire to, that apparently doesn't want to elevate his game to in those regards, he at the very least has gone out and said, I'm going to be a lockdown defender. I'm going to be a nightmare slashing towards the basket, because I know I got a guy that's going to fill in all those other spots who's the actual space alien on the team.
Credit to the 76ers, what they've been able to do. They made the tough decision of prioritizing Joel Embiid, because at the time people were like, who's the face of the franchise? What we heard in those James Harden conversations, Joel was not up for grabs. It was Ben. You made your hierarchy. You made a really difficult coaching transition with Doc Rivers. You found some pieces that have helped, and now you're in position to, fortunately, you know, now with a deficient Brooklyn Nets squad tonight, go lock in a must-win game and help boost yourself in the standings. So far, this has been one of the best stories of the season. Philly sort of holding it down better than most teams.
They have been, and they've been healthier than most teams, which has always been a difficult part for Joel Embiid. And what we've looked at the rest, that's why I said Brooklyn might actually have less pressure soon, because at some point, as good as all the pieces are, it's insane to expect, if they weren't not able to all get on the court until we get towards the postseason, it's kind of insane to expect them to be able to pull that off. I know plenty of people are, because this is what happens when we get that many good players together, but the advantage for teams like Philadelphia, the advantage for teams like Milwaukee in all of this, advantage for teams like the Clippers that is starting to be healthy and play and fire on all cylinders in a year where so many stars are injured, feels like it's ripe for the picking for one of them. So you're right. I'm with you.
Must-win is back here on Today in Gold Jr. Finally.
Back like it never left. And it's going to be here starting at 6:30 Eastern. Coverage on ESPN Radio is going to begin then. Make sure you stick around for that. But coming up next, speaking of shifting in hierarchies, we have one signing and a team trending in the right direction. Is it enough to shake up the hierarchy in one of the best divisions in football? We'll get to what that move was next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Ryan Clark coming up in the next hour about the NFL player he would least like to fight, the current NFL player. Because, Janae, I always make it abundantly clear, when it comes to the building around here at ESPN, people love these battle royale situations.
Yeah.
And I have said unequivocally, the number one set of hands I don't want to see at ESPN are Damian Woody. Those are bear paws, and I want no part of the receiving end of that business.
See, I would just lean into my strength of, like, I'm nimble, I'm quick, I have a great first step, so Woody will make a move, and I'll be like, vroom, zoom right, or, you know what I mean? Like, zoom right around.
I can, you know what? I can understand that, Janae. Like, all this stems from what we saw, it's reported, you know, going around on Twitter about Aaron Donald potentially involved in some off-the-field altercation. We say allegedly because we are waiting to see what information comes of all of this, but it's a reminder that Aaron Donald is a guy that we have seen train in various forms and fashion that are terrifying to normal people, and those probably aren't the hands that you want to see in that spot, Janae. But I always remind people, Damian Woody has, like, there are different kinds of O-linemen, Janae. There are guys like me, had to work to get big, had to work real hard to stay there, and then there are just people that are God-given large human beings, and you shake hands with Damian Woody one time, and you feel the power he used to put on people.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense. I remember when we had this conversation about which NFL head coach would we not want to see in the mix, and Mike Vrabel was up there, but then I think he got, you know, demoted from our list by Dan Campbell, maybe just after the quotes. So.
Yes, I would say man Campbell out here biting kneecaps in Detroit is going to make life pretty difficult. But Janae, speaking of space alien NFL players, we had news about one. Jadeveon Clowney signed a 1-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. This was announced Wednesday. The deal is worth 1 year, up to $10 million. Sources telling our ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. So, Janae, now you're going to get a player in Jadeveon Clowney who was used to working against a bunch of double teams, has been disruptive, but hasn't necessarily gotten the sack totals he's need to. His life just got a lot easier because Myles Garrett is on the other side, the guy who's looked like a defensive player of the year for the last couple of seasons.
Oh, my gosh. And I think that's been the evolution for Jadeveon Clowney. You know, as someone that grew up, you know, got so excited with him in the Texans, why did I say growing up in Houston? And, you know, that was a huge acquisition for us. And now, you know, I know what it's like as an athlete to bounce around a little bit and try to find your place. And it's always nice to have help, okay? But I think this is really interesting, Junior, because the Browns, I mean, now they've, I know the stat is going around that they have the number one pick from 3 drafts in 5 years on their roster. Clowney in 2014, Myles Garrett, obviously, and then Baker Mayfield. You know, maybe these guys' journeys have been different and on different timelines, but now they're slowly building what it seems like a formidable duo, especially in the AFC, that they can build on the that momentum. So, I mean, not surprised here. If I'm a player, I'd want to lean where my strength will be sort of shown on a greater stage, and this is Cleveland for him, so good for him.
It is surprising because we saw last year Jadeveon Clowney reportedly turned down a multi-year offer in Cleveland and chose to go then to the Tennessee Titans on a 1-year $13 million deal. And when he got there, 19 tackles and no sacks in 8 games before a season-ending injury, and it just that was a bad Tennessee defense. You're right, it wasn't one that was going to put him in position to succeed. But I think this means 2 things. 1, it certainly puts them in a position to succeed. And 2, it reminds me of the one thing they have left to get done. But here was our Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, talking about what could happen. The Browns going from good to great now that they've added this piece.
The speed, the ability, all of these things you look at. But you put him across from Myles Garrett, and you have this defensive line and a healthy back end. This can be a great team. Not a good team. This can be a great team.
Now, the Cleveland Browns were breaking moves by signing Jadeveon Clowney.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Janae and Golic Jr. are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And Janae, if we're looking at the road ahead, I agree with Marcus. I think this is great for that defense. That certainly in that division, in the AFC North, with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they might look like having a retool, certainly with Lamar Jackson and what they've got going on in Baltimore. And listen, trying to cut off the head of the snake now with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow there. You've got to have the dogs to hunt. But, Janae, this only underscores to me, Baker's going into year 4 of that rookie contract. I feel like we got to see this announcement coming sometime this summer. Sign him now. You're not going to have to sign Baker to a market setter. But if you let him for some reason walk into this season without it and he balls out again, now you're forking over no money. When I think you've got a quarterback that's checked enough of the boxes, especially now married with Kevin Stefanski, to say, yeah, look at what we built last year. We can keep this going. There's no need to look for better at a spot where I think you've got more than enough.
Yeah, and it's been a different journey for Baker where I think he has been sort of brought a little bit back down to earth, and that has helped his career, meaning like, all right, you know, we always joke about like the best actor in the NFL.
Hell yeah.
And all that type of stuff. But like with the high expectations and then dealing with adversity when a lot of people question at some point, like, is he the right choice to lead, you know, our football team? There is the right leverage on both sides to get something done. And I do think that the stability, you're starting to see it for Cleveland where this might emerge as their division, which is wild.
It is, but it's not far-fetched to think that at all because, again, Joe Burrow coming off an injury. We saw a bit of a letdown year for the Ravens, a lot of injuries and turnover on that roster. And listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we don't know what they're going to be now. Ben Roethlisberger looked very human at the end of last season. They have had a lot of changes up front in an offensive line that defined that crew for a while. Going to be very interesting and a chance for the Browns, who are built right in a lot of the right places, to all of a sudden step forward and maybe take that crap. Like, it is not far-fetched to say, and this is coming off a year where we watched them in the playoffs going toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the NFL.
Love it.
What a time to be alive for the Browns fans. But coming up next, let's stick in Ohio because you want to talk about responding to adversity. One quarterback has had to do it before he's even played a snap in an NFL uniform. We'll tell you who and if their second pro day helped it all next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.